Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios, man. We got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on a Friday Eve. Friday Eve, that's what we like to call it around here. Friday Eve, that being Thursday. I'm going to go to number three on the Triple Dipper in just a minute, but I got to read a few text messages first. If you want to text the show, you want to call the show. Same number for both, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. What we got here? Dave from Madison said, when I was younger, I took a few lessons in a Cessna. Cessnas naturally want to fly. Very easy. I've been told helicopters want to crash, meaning you have to be on your toes every second you're flying, unlike a plane. Well, you are. You're fighting against competing batches of energy in a helo. I mean, you're literally having to pull pitch and keep rotors and everything going in the right direction, and then it's just it's something else. And it's one of those things where I can't say this for everything. I'm not an aviator by any stretch, and I'm not a helicopter aviator for sure, but I can just tell you that there's oftentimes it's both hands and feet and eyes and all of it at the same time.
I wish my grandfather was still around. He was in Vietnam.
He did.
And times like this, it'd be nice. Curious for his input on stuff like that. But yeah, helicopters are, like you said, they want to crash.
They want to crash.
Yeah.
They're trying to kill you at all times. Tom with all the kids checking in. He said, I was almost in a mid-air collision at Fort McCoy, Wisconsin, in the early 90s in a UH-1 as a Huey on night vision training. Oh, man, gosh. Listen, I can't imagine. I would love to be able to fly a helicopter, but flying a helicopter with NODs, with night optical devices, that is like next level. And the guys that fly in the especially in the Special Operations Aviation Regiment, the 160th SOAR, those guys literally fly by NODs probably more than anybody else, and they're constantly flying with goggles on.
It's low levels too.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Those guys live the life.
Yeah,
and I mean like woo. Brian from Huntsville checking in says he agreed with Lee during the whole segment there of Butters and Lee. He says state and federal, we need clean bills. Omnibus be doggoned. Yeah. So what he's talking about there is Lee was referring to the gambling legislation, which I don't think is going to come up this year. It's possible, but it's still what they keep doing. Like I said, is they slap it all into an omnibus bill, and they try to get it all passed. Never works. And my hope is it never works. Because it's never right. It's always filled with corruption, filled with everything that Republicans don't stand for, and it's a complete mess.
By the way, with the next session coming up, I've been getting some ads on my Instagram lately. I don't remember what account or who is running the ad, but it was something about how Alabama loses this many million dollars to neighboring states every year because of no gambling or whatever. And I've seen it like a couple times a day, it seems like, the last couple of weeks.
It's such a crock.
It's interesting.
If that's all we cared about was a dollar sign, we'd already have it.
Exactly, yeah. But I just find it interesting, the timing. It's like, hey.
And I tell you what, here's an idea. If we're that concerned about the dollar signs related to the gambling interest in the state, then why don't we go talk to the guy that owns GreenTrack who hasn't paid taxes in years and still wants to have a monopoly opportunity in the new legislation? I mean, just wow. Mm-hmm. And why do we keep rewarding these bad actors? I don't know. I can't even begin to fathom.
But then, like you said, it takes time away from other bills.
So all the good stuff dies on the vine.
Yeah.
I got one more. I got somebody here hit me up on social media. By the way, you can follow us, and a lot of y'all are today. Thank you so much for the 26,300 people that are streaming live with us right now online. You can catch us at Right Side Media on X. You can also catch us on my personal account at Sen Phil Williams. It's S-E-N at Sen Phil Williams on X. We're also on Rumble, Twitch, YouTube, and through our website, rightsidemedia.org, where all of our stuff is. I mean, if you want to see our recommended reading list, if you want to see things that we write, if you want to see any one of the five podcasts that we have through Right Side Media, it's all at rightsidemedia.org. Tom Schaefer checks in on Twitter. He says, air traffic control asked the Blackhawk in this crash we have now if he could see the jet. He said, normally they would say, Blackhawk, you have traffic at 9 o'clock, 400 feet. Do you have it in sight? So the Blackhawk, he says, was in the wrong place. Failure on both parts here. And he says, by the way, I'm a retired Blackhawk pilot. Tom, thank you for your service. And I think there's going to be a lot to discern here. There's also an out-of-position question because somebody said that the Blackhawk may have been flying at about 350 feet AGL and max aviation AGL for that part of the runway area for helicopters was 200 feet. So I don't know, man. I don't know. Air traffic control should have also pointed out, like you said, where the bird was. And it's. I think the whole thing's going to have a lot of mess in it. All right, so I got another dipper here. We're going to jump on in it. So the new DOD, so Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth's now in charge. New sheriff in town. Things are happening. Y'all, things are happening like lightning fast. Like things are happening by the minute almost. One of which is, and I pulled this one from Fox. Nope, I take it back. I pulled this from the Independent. I pulled this from the Independent just this morning. Dateline today, Trump says he's going to send illegal migrants to Guantanamo Bay. Have you heard this?
I have.
Gitmo. And,
I've also heard him flirt with the idea of Alcatraz as well.
Alcatraz. You can't use Alcatraz. Mm-hmm. Alcatraz is a leaky derelict of a building that's only good for tours and, you know, gangster discussions.
I think he saw the reaction with the other one and decided to troll a little bit. Yes.
Yeah, I don't think we're going out to the Rock.
No.
Yeah. Still a very good movie.
It is.
Yeah. You're tired. You're tired, you say. That's what cowards say. That's my Sean Connery.
Yeah, that's good.
Welcome to the Rock. All right. That was pretty freaking good, by the way. I can hear myself in my headphones. That was good.
That was very good.
All right. So, yeah, Independent reporting, and I saw him also say it last night in his presser, because Donald Trump is not afraid to talk to the press like every day. President Donald Trump on Wednesday signed an order directing his administration to revive a migrant detention facility at Guantanamo Bay Naval Station in Cuba to hold detained migrants while they await deportation. You know what's interesting is our new Secretary of Defense actually did a tour in Gitmo. He was assigned to a unit that was on security detail at Guantanamo Bay in the last 10 years, I believe. So he's intimately familiar with the facilities there. You've got Camp X-Ray. You've got, what's the other camp? There's two camps over there mainly. They've got up to 30,000 beds they can hold there. Now, I thought it was in the hundreds. I didn't realize it was that big. But then Pete Hegseth said last night on one of the shows I was watching, maybe in Jesse Waters, that this is where, when we had the Haitian immigrant crisis some years back, this is where they held them all. I think it was after the Haitian, the major earthquake that occurred in Haiti. But he said, we have 30,000 beds in Guantanamo. We can detain the worst criminal illegal aliens threatening the American people there. Some of them so bad, Trump said, we don't even trust the countries we would send them back to hold them there. We don't want them coming back. So we're going to send them to Guantanamo, and that'll double our capacity immediately. Were we on the air yesterday when I told you the story about in Baghdad about threatening the guy with Guantanamo?
I don't think we were on
the air.
We were off air.
So we did a raid on it was actually a raid on a mosque. We had to in Baghdad in 2004, and I've got the administrator of the mosque sitting there trying to figure out why we found an RPG site in his personal quarters, and I'm getting nowhere with it. I'm asking him, what's this? Why do you have this? Why were rockets launched outside your gate? Why were these young men, you know, here in the mosque? Yada, 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 yada. Nada. I don't know. Finally, the op sergeant major comes up and goes, hey, sir, can I talk to him for a minute? Sure. And he looks at him and he goes, do you like Cuba? And the guy goes, Cuba? He knew exactly what was happening. He goes, Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, baby. You're going on an all-expense-paid vacation. And
how about that straightened him up real quick?
Pretty sure he started talking. So I can neither confirm nor deny that he went to Cuba. But the new DOD right now got a new sheriff in town and things are happening. And they're going to make use of facilities in Guantanamo. I'm for it. They're also going to make use of the military on the southern border. They already are. They're also going to make use of military airlift capability to deport some of these criminals back to their home countries. They already are. So in literally 1 week time, Trump has engaged the U.S. military on issues related to defense of the homeland just like overnight. And you know what I'm hearing? It's working. So, you know, they got a mission. They got a mission set. Listen, we're going to take a break right now. When I come back from this break, though, we're going to jump on into what is Trump doing about DEI in the military? And what did Pete Hegseth say about it? And then what's happening with our NATO allies? Are they going to increase their defense spending? Maybe they already are. And then did you hear about Mark Milley? I'll tell you all about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man. Giving you all the truth you can slap on a bumper sticker. All right, so I'm in this section right now, this dipper I'm calling the new DOD, because, y'all, it's like a whole new day. Ain't no way around it. It's a whole new day. So, first of all, I mentioned to you that immediately Trump issued several orders that impacted the Department of Defense overall, not the least of which is the end of DEI, which I'll get to more in a minute, and then, ending transgenderism as being an accepted practice openly, flagrantly in the U.S. military, and then, oh, by the way, engaging the military in our immigration crisis, illegal immigration crisis. So we've got Military Airlift Command is working in the deportation process, flying bad guys home. We've got Guantanamo Bay is about to come online, and I guarantee it's going to be staffed up with a pretty serious cadre of military, probably a lot of which are going to come from the National Guard, and we'll have several thousand down there again, feeding, housing, detaining, and maintaining all these illegals that we're going to ship down to Gitmo. And then right now, you've got 1,600 more troops headed down to the U.S.-Mexico border. So I pulled this story off of military.com. Not known for being a conservative rag, but there it is. Military.com reports an initial wave of 1,600 troops deployed to the U.S.-Mexico border by Monday following a mobilization that started last week. So 1,600 headed out now. I think we got about 2,500 headed total. There's 2,500 National Guard and Reserve troops already on the border. We got elements of the 82nd Airborne Division's 3rd Brigade Combat Team. We got elements out of Fort Drum's 10th Mountain Division. And I'm looking at a list of all the units, holding it up here to the camera. It's a long list. But they're pulling a lot. I knew they would. They're pulling a lot of combat engineers, and they're pulling a lot of MPs or military police, because I would dare say what they're doing is they're probably not going to have arrest authority. I would imagine what they're going to do is relieve the Customs and Border Patrol of some of the minutiae of what it means to have all these bodies coming. And by the way, the number of bodies crossing the Rio Grande has gotten a lot lower, like exponentially lower, like hardly any by comparison to where we were. But you're going to have MPs handling detention and security issues. You're going to have combat engineers working to build the wall and provide construction on housing and that kind of stuff. And then you're going to have the ability of Customs and Border Patrol to do their job, actually interdict and detain. Y'all, it's a whole new day. And you know what? Let me just say this. Trump did this in 1 week. The Trump-Vance administration has literally been in for, 10 days. He's had it for a whole 10 days. He's been in for 10 days, and all of this has happened. Biden was in for 4 years and just got, the border is secure, says Mayorkas. And no, it was awful. But one of the things he also did was ended DEI in the military. Diversity, equity, and inclusion, the place where merit goes to die. And as a new commander-in-chief, he made it real clear. I pulled this piece off of Real Clear Defense. RealClearDefense.com points out that there's little doubt that he and Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth will order the military to fully comply. Pete Hegseth actually tweeted out on his own social media a handwritten note, I guess in his handwriting, saying that DEI will end now, all DEI offices will close, DEI contracts will be canceled, and anyone who tries to rename things or get around the system will be fired. About as blunt as you can get. Wall Street Journal, according to Real Clear Defense, says the American people made clear they're tired of DEI's divisive ideology, and Mr. Trump's order rightfully notes that DEI can lead to illegal discrimination or preferential treatments. Now, here's where they're going to have a problem. He's going to have to also deal with not just the deep staters and the people that say, well, we got to keep doing this. We're not going to tell them. We're going to rebrand it. Don't rebrand it. Don't. But what about the service academies? So I'm not a service academy grad myself. I'm an ROTC guy. I got my commission at University of South Alabama. But I mean, I have every bit of admiration for the service academies. I got no beef there. But right now what we're looking at is there was a Supreme Court case that came out in 2023. It was called Students for Fair Admissions versus the Fellows of Harvard College. And what the students case basically did was ended affirmative action and the recruiting and retention of people based on demographics for colleges. And yet somehow or another, our nation's military service academies were exempt because they fall into the DOD, I believe. Well, I think we're going to see that end. Right now, you got the U.S. Naval Academy using race-based admission policies. Right now. In 2024 or 2025, setting up race-based admissions policies. Well, we're looking at right now, and here's a copy of the executive order from Harry Truman back in the day that said, it is hereby declared to be the policy of the president there shall be equality of treatment, not equity, equality of treatment and opportunity for all persons in the armed forces without regard to race, color, or national origin. And so basically what we're saying is Trump's just returning things back to the way they're supposed to be. And it's amazing. It's all happening just like in 10 days. Now, I'll tell you a few other things that have been happening in just 10 days. You've got some people that are finally being held accountable. You got watchdogs finding things in the Pentagon's reports. And then you got NATO upping their game when it comes to spending on their own defense. Do I feel like we need to drop out of NATO? No, I do not. I think America's interests are best served by being a leader in NATO still. Should we be the sole provider of security in the region? Absolutely not. Trump is already making it. The Trump effect is in full gear, y'all. Full gear. And I'll tell you about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. Y'all, I'm talking about big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Oh, man. All right. So, listen, I'm in. It's kind of been a two-dipper day, but it feels like we covered a lot of ground. I'm almost positive we can call the Cash Patel discussion a mini-dipper.
Yeah, similar to yesterday's of, what did we do yesterday? One dipper, technically, but a bunch of mini-dippers.
Yeah.
I'd say two dippers a day with a bunch of mini-dippers.
Counts for John from Huntsville, who's doing our grades right now. I hope that counts.
But hey, that's improvement. We got two in today. We got one in yesterday, so there you go.
Absolutely. Mark from Red Bay, by the way, just checked in and says, Phil, you got the Sean Connery and the Mitch McConnell impersonations going on. Good job. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. By the way, he also says, I remember the days back when DEI meant Dale Earnhardt Incorporated. Funny how things change. Yeah. That's a whole level of DEI we don't have now, isn't it? Cousin Crystal checking in from Moulton. Cousin Crystal says, Phil, could you give a big shout to my friend Jackie? She's been a loyal listener, and we always have our Right Side Talk at work. Jackie, thank you, and can I have some applause for Jackie right now? Just go ahead and thank you. Thank you very much. Jackie, you are a Right Side ruffian. If you hang with Crystal, you're absolutely an OG ruffian. All right, listen, Gary from Decatur. Says he was stationed in Cuba back in 91 through 93 during the refugee crisis. He says, not my best tour. And he's got a picture. Yep, there is. He's got his Gitmo hat right there on the shelf. Man, thank you for your service. We appreciate you, as always.
By the way, have you seen the accusations that this is Trump sending illegal immigrants to a concentration camp? I've seen tons of those.
Concentration camp.
Yeah.
Well, they probably said that about, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed too.
And I'm just gonna say, I don't think that Trump is going to be sending the. I think he's gonna be sending the worst of the worst to Guantanamo Bay, at the very least, you know. And which, by the way, it's even if he didn't, like, if you're an illegal immigrant, you're committing a crime.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think they're trying to paint the image of these, you know, crying kids being sent off to Guantanamo Bay. I don't think that's...
Here's what that's going to happen. They're going to get down there, and they're going to have a sunny opportunity to, you know, get tan and refreshed and have three square meals a day and, Yeah.
I'm of the belief the scum who are in the, you know, they're the ones that are going to be priorities to go to there, not the, I didn't know, I did, you know, whatever.
It yeah. Was, yeah. You know, the dreamers aren't going to be there. Mm-mm. No, not the dreamers. No. The dreamers. No, it's going to be Camp Tren de Aragua.
Yes. And if anybody opposes that, then you got something wrong with you.
I completely agree. I'm for it. By the way, I think what a great use of facilities. We have the facilities. Why should we build a new one here? So let's say you start doing a roundup in Chicago. And then do we build a camp in Texas and fly them to Texas, or do we just go ahead and reactivate an existing camp in Cuba and fly one extra hour to Cuba to a place that we control already? I mean, we're going to build it and staff it somewhere. You got to detain them somewhere. Do we start paying for big, huge contracting prices for local prisons to hold them? I don't think so. I love the Guantanamo Bay idea. And by the way, it's got airstrips and everything. Everything there to sustain is there.
So utilization of resources is what it is.
That's exactly what it is. By the way, the new DOD, one of the things that's happening is, yes, we're a member of NATO. No, I don't think we should pull out of NATO. But I do think that NATO needs to step up and do more to provide for its own regional defense. Should we be there as an ally? Absolutely. Do we have a vested national interest? Absolutely. Poland is now spending 4% of its GDP, and Lithuania and Estonia just increased their defense spending to 5% of their GDP, all because Trump asked for it. Listen, it's a whole new day. Now, Lithuania and Estonia are not going to be the two countries that, you know, stop the red hordes. They're not. Poland actually is a pretty stout military. But Trump last week at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, I still love the fact that he spoke to the elitists at Davos. He urged NATO countries to ramp up their defense spending. This is his quote. He said, "I'm going to ask all NATO nations to increase their defense spending to 5% of GDP, which is what it should have been years ago." He said, "It was only at 2%, and most nations didn't even pay that till I came along. I insisted they pay, and they did. The United States was really paying the difference at that time, and it was unfair to the United States." And so thank you, President Trump, for that one. All right. I see where Mike from Huntsville just checked in and says, "I thought you were going to talk about Millie." I am. Brace yourself.
You just wait.
It's right here in my hot little hands. I pulled this one off of townhall.com. So, yeah, General Mark Milley. I have said it before, and I'll say it again. When I, you know, with my background being what it is, when I first saw Milley coming in, he went from being Chief of Staff of the Army to the position of being Chairman of the Joint Chiefs. I had no beef with him until he became chairman, and then I began to wonder, what's this guy's deal? You're looking at, and I've said it before, you're looking at a guy who's got every marker of having been a warrior. Special Forces, Ranger qualified, Jumpmaster Wings, Combat Diver Badge, multiple decorations in combat, Foreign Jump Wings, all of it. I mean, he's got all the Scare Me badges, right? But then something changed. Or maybe it didn't. Maybe it was always there. All I know is Milley became somewhat of a pariah. First of all, Milley didn't like Trump. I don't know. Maybe he didn't like a strong personality. Maybe he wanted someone who he could say, "This is how it's going to be, sir," and the sir would just do it. Not with Trump. Milley didn't seem to cotton to Trump's leadership style. Oh, Milley began to backtalk Trump's leadership style. Don't I have an audio clip of Milley speaking, by the way? Do I have that? What's that audio clip that I've got? No, I don't have that. I had that on a previous day that we didn't get to. Mm-hmm. But Milley did a complete interview in 2023 and literally talked down about the commander-in-chief. And then it also came out that while Trump was still in office, that Milley made a call to his Chinese counterpart to assure them that should Trump do anything crazy, don't worry, we got this covered. What does that even mean? And why was that his role? Now, do they talk to each other? They should. Counterparts talk to each other internationally, even those that are not our, but you don't undermine the leadership of the office of the President of the United States. You don't. It's like that scene from Band of Brothers. You salute the rank, not the man. You salute the office. I don't care if you like the man. Well, Milley couldn't apparently hang on to that. And then he got into the woke stuff. then he began to believe that, you know, DEI was the way to go. And oh, by the way, maybe we have some privilege in our ranks and we need to consider, you know, whether or not there's a need for, you know, people to read certain books by like Ibram X. Kendi. And then came the debacle of a pullout in Afghanistan. God almighty. As a veteran of the war in Afghanistan, it hurt my heart to watch this. And to think that the guys that I knew who went down range and shed, you know, blood and tears on that ground watched it all be squandered. And I'm not saying I wanted the war to continue. 20 years is a long freaking time. I was there in the very beginning riding horses. I mean, I get it. But the reality is it had to end sometime. But how you leave the war is just as important as how you get into it. And the Biden administration had no clue about leadership. And we do hear that there was advice given to Biden by his military, presumably General Milley, that said we ought to at least keep Bagram open. But what we know right now is that when it was all over and done and 13 service members died at the Abbey Gate and we had people falling off of airplanes and we had no more forward presence in a country that the Taliban took over the day after we left, and we left behind billions of dollars in military equipment, and oh, by the way, we abandoned 1,000 members of green card holders and American citizens in Afghanistan. When all of that was done, you'd think that somebody with Milley's background would have said, I accept full responsibility. And we've never heard him say that. We've never heard him say, I tried to tender my resignation and they wouldn't take it. Never once. Now, did he try to resign? Yeah, but under Trump. He decided to stay under Biden. What does that tell you? Well, the level of angst with Milley goes kind of beyond just he worked for the wrong president, because there's always been SecDefs and chairmen and others who worked for the wrong president. There always will be. I still don't like, you know, Wes Clark. I think Wes Clark was you know, a great general with bad ideas. He worked for Clinton. He was a big Clinton fan. But I never wanted to see him, like, dethroned, so to speak. But Milley needs to be held accountable. And this is going to send shockwaves. So the first thing that happened within an hour of Trump being sworn in, General Milley's portrait was taken down in the Pentagon. I've been upstairs during my tenure in the Pentagon. I had an opportunity to be, I mean, and I'm not trying to portray myself as being like in the know, but I was actually upstairs in the Joint Chiefs hallway, and it's impressive. And his portrait is no longer there. It is gone. So General Milley's portrait is taken down. Oh, by the way, it turns out there's a second portrait of General Milley in the Pentagon in the Army's Marshall Corridor, which is where, from back in his time when he was Chief of Staff of the Army, that's also being taken down. Story on Town Hall also points out that General Milley just had his security clearance stripped, and that Secretary Hegseth has asked for there to be a review by the Inspector General to determine whether or not he should be stripped of one of his stars. He's a 4-star in retirement. Well, first of all, that's a whole lot of ignominy, if you know what I'm saying. But what does the security clearance mean? Why does he need it? He's retired. Oh, no, no. Listen, those guys retire and they still come back as graybeard advisors very often. They still get called upon to go to the Situation Room or do other things with the National Security Council. And, oh, by the way, they tend to make a lot of money in retirement because of the things they've seen and know. And they already have a security clearance working in the defense industry. And without that clearance, and by the way, think about his position. He had the highest level of clearance you could possibly have. Now he doesn't. Now he's got the same, you know, same level of clearance as Joe Snuffy, the ragbag private who just walked in off the street. Nada. He will not be working for the big dogs under clearance level activity. And if he does, those big dogs can lose their clearance contracts.
I think so. One of my favorite Milley stories, I mean, because it's funny, not because it's a good story, but of, you know, have you seen the clip of Trump talking to people at Mar-a-Lago about Milley? And he's like, apparently Milley told him it would be cheaper to leave all the equipment in Afghanistan than to bring it back. And he goes, at that time, that's when I knew he was an idiot. You know, it's funny though, because it's like, oh, all of a sudden the government's interested in saving money when it's in terms of leaving equipment with the enemy and not taking it back. It's just that sums up his incompetence and stupidity, truly.
There will always be materiel left behind in a war zone. I mean, it just happens. But you don't leave it in mass, crated up, fueled up, ready to be used. At the very least, you blow it in place. I mean, we used to roll with a thermite grenade in so that we could destroy our comms and all that kind of stuff if we had to at the very last second. You didn't leave it for the enemy to use.
And the reasoning being, sir, it would be cheaper. It's like, really?
Like, cheaper.
Yeah.
Well, how cheap is it when you have to fight against your own material?
Yeah,
later
exactly.
On? All right, listen, I got to take a break. Last break of the day here on the Friday Eve. My gosh, it's been a full show. I didn't even get to everything. I mean, I've got stuff here about watchdogs at the VA, and I've got stuff about, you know, other stuff that's happening with regards to DEI and the Pentagon. I don't know, man. How can we possibly cover all the newness in the DOD? Well, all I know is I hope it transcends the military into what we knew under Reagan. Wouldn't that be something? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.